Did I break anything when I was modifying the template? Those types of things. Because that happens a lot. Actually, there was an email that was widely discussed in some groups this week from a very well-known Canadian brand that sent out, and halfway through the message, their table split.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Welcome back, listeners. We've got joining with us today Matthew Bernhout. He is the director and the privacy and industry relations at a company called 250OK. He's also a certified international privacy professional in Canada with more than 17 years experience in email. He actively shares his thoughts and his industry trends via his own social media blog, emailkarma.net, which was recognized in 2010 as one of Canada's top 40 marketing blogs. Matthew has also contributed to several benchmark publications during his career, including the Marketer's Guide to Successful Email, the EEC's Global Email Marketing Compliance Guide, the Impact of CASEL on Email Marketing, and many others. Matthew is also active in various organizations and a director at large of the Coalition Against Unsolicited Email, the Email Experience Council Advocacy Subcommittee Chair, and the Senior Administrator for both Email Marketer Club and Email Roundtable. He is also a frequent speaker at conferences and covers topics in this area. Matthew graduated from St. Clair College in 2000 with a diploma in computer science and information. We're looking forward to Matthew explaining and helping us do a better job with our email deliverability, or at least our tracking. So welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thank you very much for having me.
So do you want to fill in the blanks? Is there anything that's missing or anything new that you want to update us on?
Sure. So just some sort of forward looking. In the new year, once the Email Experience Council's annual conference happens, I will actually be stepping up from my role as the advocacy chair and actually becoming a vice chair of the organization. So that's a pretty exciting thing that's going to be happening in the next couple of months for myself.
Well, good for you. So I'm familiar with both the EEC, and I'm also familiar with the product or the company that you work with, 250OK, as a user of the tool through a third-party email provider I use. So could you just give us the highlights of, you know, what is 250OK and basically, you know, what it does for people?
Sure. So here at 250OK, we're really looking at email analytics from a holistic point of view. So pre-deployment, testing, how does your message look? How does it render? What is the expectation in regards to getting messages to the inbox for subscribers you're looking to contact? And if you're having problems, we offer a number of suggestions on things you can modify or change within your message to increase the deliverability rates for those. We also offer tools that monitor reputation. So how is your, you know, blacklistings, if you have any? Are you having any other types of reputation issues in regards to spam traps that you might be delivering mail to? So we host our own spam trap network that receives several million messages every month. So we work with clients to report on that. We have a external analytics platform. So this comes in really handy for clients that may be using multiple email service providers, but want to have a centralized, consistent analytics platform. And then on top of that, we also offer DMARC reporting and analytics tool. So DMARC is the latest in anti-fraud, anti-phishing type solutions. And we have a platform that works with the open source DMARC community to ingest the reports and turn around and display them in a way that's meaningful and useful for either IT security people or marketing professionals that are trying to monitor their brand for abuse and take control of you know, any type of malicious activity that may be happening impacting their company.
That's quite a broad offering. I mean, my experience with using your tool has really been around the deliverability and blacklisting, working with Marlpost, and I was really happy to use the tool because it integrated as a third party to, like you mentioned, to a tool I was already using. So I didn't have to move all my data someplace else. We just had the ability to use your system to improve our tracking. and then dive into the issues with a few clients' data that we were managing when they did have a blacklist or they did hit a spam trap.
Yeah, it's been great that way. We integrate in both directions, I would say, for multiple ESPs, either a direct integration where the data flows into our system, and then that's where it works really well if you're on, say, Meripost and SendGrid, and maybe on SparkPost. You could have a centralized dashboard for all your reporting in one location as opposed to having to look in three different platforms potentially even.
Yeah, and I guess the best thing is it's one platform, so you're not wondering, you know, how does each platform measure the deliverability. So I'm using a constant in terms of reporting and tracking.
Yeah, that's actually really something that I've seen in the past, having worked at multiple different ESPs. Each one has a slightly different spin on how they calculate different metrics, or in some cases, the metrics they're actually calculating or the reporting they're showing and making available. In this situation, you could have one centralized dashboard that's independent of all of that.
Well, that used to be an issue for us when we were deploying a lot of third-party emails. So we would rent data for clients and from brands. So a brand, for example, like Zacks.com is a financial company in Chicago. We'd rent their data. We knew they were serving their email on SilverPop. But SilverPop's reporting was going to be different than Email Labs or any of the other companies at that point that were in there. And it was really tough to get an accurate view, you know, by looking at all the other the ESP, the individual reporting. So can you share with us, maybe a case study or an example of somebody that your company brought on as a client? Obviously, you don't need to share their details of who they are, but where they took your tools, used your tools, and what the result was for them?
Sure. So there's a few different use cases. So just from the inbox point of view, so I actually used to be a client, and I enjoyed working with the company so much. That when there was an opportunity to work with them, and I've known the team for a very long time, I was excited to take the opportunity. So having had the actual user experience, I can talk to that. So we would use the Inbox tool as a pre-deployment testing solution to evaluate whether we had potential coding issues that maybe would cause messages to not render appropriately in one location, or had a deliverability problem, which would then engage with the deliverability team to help resolve sort of pre-deployment. And we'd be able to catch a certain number of issues up front through the seed deployment testing. So it really allowed us to be proactive working with clients that way. And in some cases, if a client wanted to do it all on their own, the way the tool works is you can have a parent account, you know, managed by an ESP, and then an individual client account underneath of that. So it allows you to segment data separately between clients as opposed to having a holistic view as well for an ESP platform. But what it allowed us to do was it really allowed us to take some of our clients, specifically, say, in the onboarding situation. So you have new domains, new domain keys, new IP addresses, data that as an ESP I've never seen before. It allows me to actively monitor over the onboarding period and the warm-up process how things are improving, make program changes, tweak certain things within the messaging, and then really drive from maybe a lower inbox placement rate to significantly higher inbox placement rates for a client that's onboarding.
Well, it's interesting because that's one of the two aspects that we enjoyed of the tool was for inboxing. And this client had purchased a company, and the company they purchased, the brand reputation had some issues online. And so by us segmenting the data and sending the data out to be clean and then using your tool set, we were able to actually measure, and we could actually see our inbox deliverability across all of the email providers, you know, Gmail included, increasing a little bit time after time after time as we started to clean things up and get them working better.
Absolutely, it's a great tool for monitoring program changes, and you can see the impact almost immediately.
So, what type of companies would you typically work with? Is there a certain size company that is an ideal client of yours? So, you know, our listeners are saying, "Hey, I'm a 10 person company. I'm 10 staff or 20 staff, or do you need to be 500 staff? Where do you need to be?"
We work with companies of all sizes. So, the sort of the beauty of the tool is you don't necessarily buy in and say it's going to be a flat rate forever at one price. You could actually just buy one piece of the tool. So everything's offered sort of individually, the inbox, the reputation, analytics. They're all separate and they're all really event-based. So if you only need 5 or 10 events a month, we can offer that at a very affordable price. Or if you want to test everything that you're going to do and you want 100 or 1,000 events a month, those things are also available. So there's no real size requirement from a business point of view, because it does come down to a lot of times how active you are, how many tests you want to do, and then building that into your process and making sure that, you know, it works with your process and, you know, getting a message from development out the door and then delivered to a consumer the best possible chance of making it to their inbox.
So in terms of workflow, what's the additional work for someone that's going to deploy a campaign if they say, hey, this sounds like a great tool. I'm using fill in the blanks. I'm using this ESP. I'm using Infusionsoft. I'm using whatever they're using for their CRM and their back end. I'd like to obviously get better inbox delivery, or I'd like to be able to make sure that my online reputation is doing well and moving forward. So what would that look like for the marketer?
So depending on the tool, so the reputation tool, it's passive. So there's nothing really proactive that needs to get done other than inputting IP addresses and domains that you want to monitor into the tool. It will then passively check the system, you know, for blacklistings or any type of reputation issues or significant spam trap hits, and then return those back as reports. So that system's going to do that work for you. With regards to, say, the design tools, what that's going to require is that you send a message into the design system, similar to how other tools like this work. So you send a message in, it then takes that message, processes it, renders it in all the different clients, and allows you to say in one spot, what is this going to look like in Outlook? What is this going to look like in AOL? What is this going to look like in Hotmail? But then it also breaks down even to what does this look like in Hotmail, in Internet Explorer versus Mozilla versus Chrome. So there's a whole wide variety of options to view the message, even including mobile. But what that adds into sort of the process is you may need to make tweaks. So you're going to have to work with your email developers a little more proactively in order to build the right templates, to build the right process. But also if you see problems or encounter issues, to give them that feedback so they can go in and make changes and then test again. So it may add a couple extra steps, but those benefits, as you've mentioned, even those benefits really help increase inbox placement and user engagement.
Well, and that sounds like a one-time thing. If there's some issues right now with your current design templates with whoever's designing your HTML email, I'm assuming once you clean them up, providing that you continue to use the same base template, you're really not going to go back and have to do a lot of other work other than, you know, like you said, send it to the system and then get in there and take a look and make sure that it's rendering and is viewing correctly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. So the use case is a lot of tests when you're designing a new template or launching a new program, or maybe even sending a holiday greeting that's not using your current template. So you may do a lot more testing then, and then you may just use a weekly heartbeat to say, does my template still look right? Did I break anything when I was modifying the template? Those types of things, because that happens a lot. Actually, there was an email that was widely discussed in some groups this week from a very well-known Canadian brand that sent out, and halfway through the message, their table split. So the message wasn't aligning in a vertical column. It was actually two columns, but it had broken apart.
I'm always surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be. I'm always surprised that sort of stuff happens with big companies and brands. You know, they obviously right now, more than any time of year, this is a busy time to be sending messages. And it's like, why wouldn't you do it? Just a little bit of testing. Yes, email, I guess, often is perceived as, well, it doesn't cost anything. Let's just send it. Well, it does cost a lot when you send out a message like that that embarrasses you and your brand.
Absolutely. And it happens quite frequently. And oftentimes, the experience that I've seen is that as you're copying and pasting something, you delete a table tag or you delete a div tag, and all of a sudden, you know, it looks fine in one client, but it doesn't look fine in another. And that's really, I think, the challenge that a lot of places have is, I'm just testing this in my Outlook, it looks fine. Or I'm just testing it in AOL and it looks fine. But with a tool that allows you to test in all places at once, it allows you to catch those anomalies of, oh, this broke in Gmail because Gmail doesn't support a certain media call or doesn't support a certain, you know, CSS tag or something like that. And it allows you to go back and proactively try to catch those in advance.
Yeah, that's the survey of one. This is how I see it. So everyone else must see it the same way.
Absolutely. And that happens frequently, especially in times like this week where we have Black Friday and Cyber Monday coming up, where you're pushing your teams harder to deliver more content, more creative. You're maybe doubling your message volume for the week. So the things get missed, unfortunately. And then, like you said, you walk away with a little egg on your face.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. I mean, if you're paying attention to your analytics, you'll know, what their users are viewing your content on. Now knowing that most of it's on mobile and not necessarily on desktop. So,
yeah, we're still seeing about 50%, just over 50% penetration into mobile. So it certainly is a large number of users, and even there's a good number of users that are looking at multiple devices. So that might actually be an indicator of maybe your email on mobile intrigued someone, but they couldn't do the completion of the action on the device, so they had to switch to a PC. So those are types of things that people should look for as well. Or maybe the consumer is just not comfortable making the retail purchase on their mobile, so they went to their PC to complete that. So there's a lot of different pieces to look at. It gets complicated very quickly.
Well, and I think the ability to be able to view what your message is going to look like on mobile is so important. I've just finished doing some research on a book that's coming out next year on email, and I was really surprised at the numbers in terms of mobile. The mobile users will often report your email as spam if they think that your message is either A, irrelevant, or B, it doesn't display correctly in mobile. So, you know, that's a whole different issue than talking about spam traps. It's like, hey, you guys can't format your message right. I don't like you, so I'm just going to report you as spam and you're gone.
Yeah, and I would say even if you do get the formatting and rendering right on a mobile, if your website's not mobile optimized, that will turn off a lot of consumers as well.
Yeah, I don't want to get in that conversation. I just had that conversation with a client yesterday. I'm going, your website looks horrible on mobile. But anyhow, moving. Can you share a little bit with us around the spam trap network? I wasn't aware that you guys had a proprietary spam trap network. Obviously, we try to clean our data a couple times a year. We use a number of different vendors to do that. But so how does your system help marketers in that way?
Sure. So a lot of it comes down to, like you're saying, if you potentially have bad hygiene or poor hygiene issues, the system will help you identify that. But if you're also looking at using partner data, or if you're using, maybe you're like, oh, I have this list that I haven't mailed to in a long time, and you don't properly clean it, you'll be able to actually log in to the system. We will return things like the from address, the subject, the date, not the actual recipient, of course. Because, you know, what good's a spam trap network if you give away what all your traps are? However, you know, we will help people identify where there's potentially data issues. And in some cases, if you are on a shared infrastructure, maybe. So this is where this type of situation works really well for an ESP. If you're on a shared infrastructure with multiple clients using the same IP addresses, you could potentially identify your problem client in all the noise of all your other clients and work with them. Or if you have to take action under your AUP or something along that lines to help them clean up, that's where this tool comes in really handy for someone like an email service provider to identify potential problems that they may get buried in all the noise.
Well, it's funny because I often hear the conversation where people think they can sneak this data in and they can mail to it and it's not going to affect their mailer. Nobody's going to notice. I said, well, you forget that the ESP has aggregate data against all their clients. So as soon as yours doesn't look like everybody else's, they know. So you're not fooling anyone.
Absolutely. And ESPs across the board have different ways of doing it, but they're all looking at it. Machine learning, I should say, and AI is coming to help them identify those outliers. Probably the most well-known of that is the MailChimp Omnivore tool that looks at lists and past behavior and consumer and who's uploading what and the types of content that are getting sent out. And they're getting really good at it. And I think, you know, you're going to start to see other platforms catching up or looking to utilize similar machine technology to catch those outliers.
Yep, totally agree. Not to mention that even if you do sneak it past, we're really forgetting the really most important thing is, why are we sending the message, right? We're trying to add value to our clients or subscribers, and at some point we want to sell them something.
Absolutely. You know, I frequently receive lots of spam, and I can't tell you I've never purchased a message from something that was sent to me unsolicited.
Well, and that's what I don't understand. I mean, the statistics I looked at this week said that still over 50% of the emails that around the world is sent spam, and most of it comes from America. It's just ridiculous to think that they keep sending it, because then they say that the numbers are falling. Well, quit clicking on the links and don't buy stuff, and the people will stop sending spam.
It's much easier said than done, especially if you look at the similar offers that happened today, right? Like 70% off the item, the hottest item of the winter, or the hottest item of the summer that you've been looking all summer for. That's a really tempting offer for a lot of people. However, you know, it is that you encourage bad behavior by supporting it.
I think my favorite offer is, I get all these emails all the time through a variety of my different websites, and it's like, hey, and they don't put my name, we sell databases. Do you want to buy a customized database with your ideal target audience? I'm thinking, you could have taken my name off my website. You could have looked at my email. No, I don't want to buy your data, because clearly, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. But to start the fact that you couldn't even personalize it.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely one piece. The other part, I would say, you know, for us both being in Canada, is the Canadian anti-spam legislation plays a big impact in regards to, do I want to buy data and use it? And then next year, GDPR makes that even more unsavory and more dangerous for companies to action on.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just over in the UK at a conference in London, and there were a number of us in the email space having that discussion of how that's going to affect business and businesses moving forward with existing data that they've already got.
Sure. Existing data is one thing, right? Like, we saw that under Castle with existing data. There was like the grace period that people were allowed to use existing data for. When that grace period ended, there was still some significant email list shrinkage that happened. But overall, all the metrics I've seen over the last 3 years have shown that the law worked, and that people are happier with the email they are receiving and they're engaging more.
Yep, that makes sense. You got to date a little bit before you get married, so make sure you've got a relationship with the people you're sending to, and you'll get a better response.
Absolutely. Send people what they ask for. And that just is a starting point.
You know? There you go. Now, sign up for my list. What I really want to do is, I want to send you advertising every single day and hope you buy something.
Which is absolutely acceptable if that's what you tell them you're going to do.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a disclosure like that before, though.
Sure. But, you know, think of a retailer that sends, you know, 7 or in some cases more than 7 emails in a week. That's kind of what you sign up for, I suppose.
Yep. I mean, like you said, it's just really meeting expectations. I mean, I've signed up for lots of emails where I'll get an email every day for 7 to 10 days from someone. And in most cases, they're trying to build a relationship. They're offering value. And not every email is put your credit card here. So it's just really about developing that relationship before you ask people to pull out their credit card and plunk it in online.
Absolutely.
So in terms of your technology and what you guys do, and working with marketers, what do you think the biggest myth is out there? So, you know, with all the email guys and all the VPs of marketing that are being audited and held to account to get higher ROI for their company, what do you think the myth is about what you guys do in terms of deliverability and tracking and blacklisting?
Well, it's not necessarily cliche, but sort of the phrasing is, and it's one that I've used for over 10 years writing email karma, really is, it's not the size of your email list, but it's how well you communicate with it. So, you know, it's, you know, I would much rather have a list that is full of very responsive people that is much smaller than a gigantic large list that gets a 5% open rate and a 0.5% click-through rate all the time. So email is king, but permission trumps everything. So if you're sending to people and you're just abusing their trust, you know, I do see, you know, the idea of press send, make money. But in a world where your competitor is sending something that is permission-based and much more targeted and much more relevant to a consumer, you could send them 10 messages when your competitor sends them one that is more relevant, more targeted. And I would imagine that, you know, at least from my experience, you know, value N equals one, I'm going to buy from someone who sends me something that's really targeted and really relevant over someone who just mails me the 20% off every day offer.
Yeah, fair enough. A fair comment. So what are you most excited about today as it relates to email and technology and the space that you're working in?
For me, I personally love the idea of DMARC. What it does, well, it's, you know, like everything, it's not perfect, but it's significantly better than not having it. There is a small portion of the email population, if you will, that does not authenticate email. I believe the last stats I saw from Gmail were somewhere less than 2% of email is not being authenticated at all. Okay. So email authentication, if you're not doing it at some point, will hamper your deliverability. So as a starting point, I think that's really where people need to be. SPF's been around for over a decade. To consider that there's a small portion of people not doing it, you know, it's already causing delivery issues, if you will, by not doing it. I've seen mail get rate limited that says your authentication records are wrong or broken, so I'm not going to accept this right now, come back later. But with DMARC, it allows you to, from a compliance point of view, from a reputation point of view, from a security point of view, it allows you to see all of your legitimately authenticated mail. It allows you to see mail that is likely to be yours, but maybe is broken or it's not aligned properly, which is not wrong. It's just not authenticated as well as it could be. But what it really shows you is the mail that's being sent under your brand that is not actually sent by you. So it's the malicious spam, it's viruses, it's forged mail. It could be the fake CEO email trying to get you to send money to a international bank account. So DMARC allows you to see your entire email universe from the receiver's point of view almost. You know, what was accepted, what was authenticated properly, what failed, and it allows you to really get a good view of it. I'm actually thinking about it from the point of view from Castle Compliance as well. If I have a rogue sales guy in another location that's not working in head office, maybe remote, that opens up a MailChimp account that's not approved, well, how do I know that it's not a violation of the anti-spam legislation?
Sure. Right. Yeah. And the laws are pretty clear. You're going to pay dearly for that mistake.
Yeah. And the company is still responsible, regardless of the actions of the individual. So this type of tool will allow you to catch those things or notice those things. And I've heard from several very large brands that when they turned on DMARC, that's exactly what happened. Is we didn't know we had a marketing guy in Atlanta doing that or something like that, right? Like, that's scary. So
yeah, he's doing all the billing as well.
Absolutely, right? I think that's the catch, is you don't always know. So these sort of turn on the lights and allows you to sort of see your traffic in a slightly different manner.
So what is a good way for our listeners that are in this space or marketers and wanting to do a better job to kind of get started?
Get started in email or get started with the technology?
Get started with the technology. I'm assuming that they're in email. If they're not in email, well, then, you know, maybe they should listen to a different podcast. But, you know, email, I still, you know, the reason we wrote the book was it was all the misnomers that email's dead, doesn't work, and is illegal. And it's, right. You know, I could be further from the truth. So for the listeners who have email, have a list of whatever size and want to do a better job and want to get better ROI and want to make sure they get delivered, how do they get started?
Sure. So I suppose there's a couple of different ways. You could ask your email vendor if they're working with us or if they have a partnership with us, and you could get access to the tools that way. If they don't, you can head over to 250ok.com. and get some more details on each of the different tools and see which ones might be relevant for you. You can reach out through our contact form there, and one of our sales guys can certainly reach out and help understand the need and help understand what you're looking for, and then put a package together that fits your needs and budget. You can reach out to me on Twitter at emailkarma. It's a great way to reach me. It's always in my pocket on my phone, and I'm pretty quick to respond. You can email us at info@250ok.com. That's a good way to also get into the system for help.
And so what about onboarding? So for technical side, so, you know, someone says, hey, this sounds good. You know, I want to take a look at this, but I'm not a programmer. So, you know, I'm assuming you've got an onboarding process where you'll help them walk them through the process of getting started up and running and getting their first reports out.
Absolutely. And I think the only piece that may require some sort of additional coding, if you will, would really be an integration with one of our tools, if you wanted to be able to access the data from another source or feed us data potentially from an external mail platform. So as an example, we have a direct integration with SendGrid. So if you are a SendGrid user, you could just put your API key in the system, which is real simple, doesn't take any coding, and then the system will start to work directly with the SendGrid platform that way. It's a little more complex than the way I just described it, but we have a team that walks you through that. But from the point of view of our inbox testing, our reputation services, it's as simple as you download the seed list that you want to send mail to. You pick the geographical regions you're trying to mail to, which is a bunch of checkboxes, download the list, upload it into your email platform, and click send. Then the system will start building the reports for you. So from the integration point of view of inbox testing, it's really that simple. Download an email list and hit send. It does get a little more complicated with some of the analytics pieces, but that's, again, more of an advanced solution that advanced marketers are looking for. And
yeah, and I found it really simple. It's that you're right on. I mean, because it was integrated with MaroPost, it was very easy. And even when we wanted to use the system for some stuff that was outside of MaroPost with a different ESP, like you said, it was send to the seed list, and the analytics and the tracking and the reporting was there. It was pretty intuitive. So if you're using Google Analytics, this is even simpler than Google Analytics to get your reporting up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we designed it that way. We wanted it to be simple because we knew we would have users in a situation where, you know, they're not a team of 20 with four programmers and, you know, a data scientist on the team to look at everything. So when we built this, that's one of the things we looked at was how do you make it simple for people to understand and simple for people to use, but also offer an advanced level service such as our full integration through API.
Right. So one last question, and we'll let you get back to your day. And that is, who is one guest that you think we should have on our show?
Oh, one guest. I probably have a list of, I could send you a long list of people who I think should be on the show, but I'm going to give you two because I think they both stand out for different reasons. One, I think, is John Caldwell from Red Pill Email. John has assembled for the last number of years a email service provider benchmark guide. So if you're looking for a new ESP, he can help you do that. His guide has a list of, I believe, about 45 different ESPs in the small, mid-range business and the enterprise class to help you kind of choose who would be the best vendor for your solution, or at least help you narrow it down and then work with two or three vendors as opposed to looking sort of blindly for an email vendor. And I think the other person, and you may know, Della Quist, CEO of Alchemy Works. Della has some, you know, him and I don't always see eye to eye, but it's a great debate all the time. You know, we're very good friends. So it's a great debate, but he's a very bright guy. And I think he has a lot of insight to bring. And he's actually developing some really great tools to help with subject line testing, content testing, and just sort of something that, you know, we always talk about is test everything in email, see what works best for you. And that's what his company really sort of focuses on in regards to helping people get better performance out of their email.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of testing. We always have a testing budget with all the clients we work with, and they don't really understand why, but it's like, you know, if we can get a 1 or 2 or 3% bump in any area, it can sometimes magnify to make a huge difference to the bottom line.
Absolutely. I think that's something that people don't do frequently enough, much like what we were talking about earlier. You get a template and you stick with it, and then you kind of forget to test.
Yep, I get that. Yep, I'm a big fan of multivariate testing and let the analytics fall where they lie. I don't need to be right about which copy or image I like. What we need is the one that converts the highest.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for taking time today and sharing with our listeners. And so I will make sure that all the details for Matthew are in the show notes. So we'll give a link and a shout out to 250OK and emailkarma.net and all of his social media contacts so you can find him. So check back, get the show notes, download them. There'll be a link to the website. Go take a look at the 250OK website and check him out. We've been using the tool. I'm super happy with the tool. It was really easy to use. And so I just want to say thanks for taking time out of your day, Matthew, to share with our audience.
Thanks again for inviting me to come speak.
There you go, listeners. We'll have this posted soon enough. So tune in and we'll see you on the next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.